From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Audie Cornish.
I'm Melissa Block. And you know what? There's no way I would ever talk over the first notes of this song. American Girl by Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers from their debut album released in 1976 kind of makes me feel like a teenager again. Well, nearly 40 years later, the band is still going strong.
Everybody is still happy to be there. It's actually kind of embarrassing now. It's such a love fest, you know, and I don't think any of us pictured doing it at this level at this age.
You didn't.
Well, how could you?
Tom Petty is 63 now. He and the Heartbreakers have just kicked off the tour for their new album, Hypnotic Eye. You and I are left in the wind, in the wake of a rich man's sin. Down his power drum. Tom Petty came by NPR West recently with his wide-brim hat and wry sense of humor. He told me the new songs reflect what he sees going on in America today. But he added, he doesn't get preachy.
I don't really take a side. I just tried to kind of explore this gap between the poor and between people that get so wealthy that making more money really wouldn't change an hour of the rest of their lives, you know. Yet, they're obsessed with making more money, regardless of how that affects other people. Maybe it's a moral question of, do you want something so bad that you don't need, even though it will hurt others, you know, because you know, we're looking at a very different time in America right now where we've rubbed out the middle class, which was really kind of the whole point of the thing for a long time, meaning America.
Well, it's interesting because I wonder if you see yourself as part of that group of people who are on top, who are securely in that 1%.
Yeah, I am, but I don't do anything that hurts anyone. Mm-hmm. You know, and I come from, you know, very humble background. But that's another thing, you know, is I guess I did live the American dream, getting into something I loved and working really hard at it. And there were financial rewards. Even to this day, I don't think that's ever been the guiding light of our band. Nice, really, but see those fault lines made out
like landmines. It's hard to relax. You know, I keep coming back on the new album to the song Fault Lines, which seems to me to be all about fragility of all different kinds, seismic or internal. And
yeah.
Talk just a bit about how that song started out and what you were thinking about when you wrote it.
I was looking at a map of fault lines through Los Angeles, you know.
Which is where you live, we should say.
Actually outside of Los Angeles in Malibu. And I thought, well, I have some of those, you know. And, you know, emotionally, you can have fault lines too, where anything might break open.
I'm talking with Tom Petty. His new album is called Hypnotic Eye. I want to talk to you about the Heartbreakers. when you listen to Heartbreakers songs, you can tell from the very first notes what song they are. I mean, those chords, those opening chords are iconic. And millions of people, it takes one note for them to know exactly what they're going to hear. And I do wonder what that's like for you, just knowing that there's this direct tie from the very beginning of a song to what people know and remember about that song.
Well, that's lovely compliment. It's a tremendous thrill. I mean, if I think about it very long, it frightens me.
Really? Why?
Well, you know, because it's kind of like, well, did I do that?
When I think about Tom Petty songs, I think they're, you know, they're songs that you want to play with the windows open and the top rolled down and driving really fast. And I wonder, when you're recording a new album, if you ever do that, if you take a demo or take a rough recording and take it out for a drive, see how it sounds on the highway outside the studio.
Yeah, well, I have done that.
Yeah?
You know, we used to mix records sometimes and take them right out to the car and play them in the car to see how they sounded in a car as opposed to the studio. I think it was the Wildflowers record. We wanted a kind of average sound system, so we rented some kind of car, not too expensive a car. Tonight we There was a terrible moment when one of the crew returned the car and got a different one. And there was a real panic, so we had to send them back to find that same car.
But what's the idea there? I mean, what are you trying, if you're listening outside the studio,
well,
what are
I'm
you worried about?
I'm trying to hear what it really sounds like. You know, in studios, have really good playbacks and good speakers and things, you know, and tuned rooms that are made for accuracy, you know, sound-wise. We tend to work most of the time on really inexpensive speakers that are probably worse than most people have because...
Really?
Yeah, because... It doesn't, I'm not hyping myself that way, and if I can get it to sound good there, then when I bring it up to the big speakers, it's pretty amazing.
How do you hear the Heartbreakers growing or evolving the longer you play with them? What's changed?
Well, there's a lot of things. I mean, like in Hypnotic Eye, one of the things that I was most pleased with and that I really wanted to make happen was what we didn't play, like the amount of space in the arrangements. So the more air in the arrangement, really the bigger the track sounds to me, and that's something that you learn over time. You know, we didn't try to create walls of sound on this. It was more like sonic textures, you know. I like textures. I like to create lots of different guitar sounds, and I'm fascinated with how sounds go together. When you get something that works, you know, in a particular way, it's kind of like mixing two colors together and getting a new one. And it's, am I getting a little too esoteric?
In the best way.
I probably sound like a pretentious ass here, but that's kind of the way I see it. I just look at it like, you know, between the speakers when you come in, there's a blank canvas, and when you go out, there's actually something on it. Simple as that sounds, it's a tremendous rush to this day to me to just make something happen.
Well, it's all right, riding around in the breeze. Well, it's all right, if you live the life you please. Well, it's all right.
You spent quite a bit of time with the late George Harrison, sang with him with the Traveling Wilburys. What did you learn from him in all the time that you knew him? What do you think his biggest influence on you was?
Well, that was unusual because we got very close. It's hard, you know, I don't like to bring it up that much because, you know, Beatles are so special that people could might see you as boasting or something, you know, but it's... He actually became my friend past being a Beatle to me, you know. And it was like having an older brother that had a lot of experience in the music business, someone who I could go to with my troubles and questions. And I think spiritually probably was the greatest gift he gave me. And he gave me a way of understanding a higher power without it being stupid, you know, or having tons of rules and books to read, you know. I think of him quite a bit. But I tell you, the best thing I can say to people that are curious about that is George was probably everything that you thought he was, and then some more.
It must have been an interesting transition, I'm thinking, because I know you've talked a lot about first seeing the Beatles on the Ed Sullivan Show in 1964. I guess you'd have been 13. And that was basically what made you think, music, band, that's what I want to do. So to go from that to being that close with him and that intimate with him must have been quite something.
It was unusual, you know, because it's not something that you ever expected to happen. And strangely enough, we got along very well right away. And he was the kind of person that when he came across a good thing or the potential for a friend, you know, he really was aggressive about it. And he had a way of, he could get you comfortable with him very quickly, you know, where you weren't really thinking about that all the time. Though I did, you know, I was always, you know, asking Beatle questions and, you know, and probably annoyed him. But he was pretty cool, you know, he liked the Beatles too. And he liked talking about it and remembering it.
Do you have one George Harrison memory that really...
I have thousands, you know, thousands and thousands. We'd be here all day talking about George.
Yeah. I'm up for that.
Well, another show.
Yeah, exactly.
Hypnotica. That's the one. He'd be saying, promote your record, man.
Don't talk about me.
You're on the radio.
How do you gear up and get ready to go out on tour?
That's easy because just absolute fear takes over.
Really? You know? No. Come on.
I'm in a state of shock.
Is it still thrilling, or does it feel so familiar that thrill is gone?
No. it's yeah, I get a thrill. My adrenaline gets so high from a concert that after it I usually pace until sunrise. I can't come down from it.
Seriously?
Yeah, you kind of spend the whole day gearing up for it and the night getting over it. You just want to be as wonderful as everyone thinks you are, and you know you're not, you know. So something takes place where you reach down so deep and pulls from so far inside your soul that this music happens and you all reach the place you wanted to reach together, you and the audience. Then getting over that takes all night.
So a lot of pacing.
I pace. You know, I mean, people deal with it in different ways, but I tend to walk around a lot.
Well, Tom Petty, it's been great to talk to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Nice to be here on the NPR.
The new album from Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers is called Hypnotic Eye. And you can hear more from our conversation at nprmusic.org.